stone smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron. Notice, we studied that iron, clay, and break them in pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff, which the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone, notice now it's focusing on the stone. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain. That stone was the stone that the builders rejected. That's the tried stone. That is the precious corner stone. And that was the same stone that followed them through the wilderness. Remember? And the rock that Moses, when Moses smote the rock, water came out of that rock. And that rock was Christ. He follows them through the wilderness. That is the stone. And then it's the same stone or rock that he said that upon this rock will I build my church. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. See, this was all the gates of hell, all of the kingdoms of the earth, kingdoms of the world, kingdoms of satanic influence, that Satan is the God, little g, God of this world. And he showed Jesus. He said, I'll give you all of these kingdoms if you will only fall down and worship me, because all of these kingdoms are given unto me. But Jesus would not receive it from the hand of the devil, because he knew that the kingdoms of this world would come to an end. But then he would have a kingdom appointed by the Father. See, the kingdom that Jesus will receive will be given him, a kingdom and dominion from the Father. And he will rule over the world forever and ever. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and that cannot come to an end. See, let me go on. Let me go back to verse 34. Okay, in verse 35. Then was the iron and the clay, the brass, silver, gold broken to pieces. That means these kingdoms come to an end. They're broken and cannot be put back. Their reigns are over. So when you look on the image of the beast, or the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, and you find out that the gold is over, the silver is over, the brass kingdom is over, the iron kingdom is over, and then we are down in the toes. Right now, we are in the toes of clay mingled with iron, and we are just about out of human government. All right, or the reign of man. It's about at the end. We are at the end, so you can understand where we are as to the second coming of Jesus Christ, because at the end of human government, which is times of the Gentiles, Romans tells us, chapter 9, then the Lord God himself will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Revelations chapter 19. So here in verse 35, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the read on for me, the silver and the gold broken in pieces together, and became, read up, and like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. That means in the economy of God. See, it's over. They have no office, no room. Their day is over. You get that? So government, as you know it today, is coming to an end. And if you did not work for God, you won't have any position. And if all that you know is now the natural man, and you never invest in the kingdom of God, then you have no position. So that's why you have to set your affection upon things above, upon the kingdom of God. You have to focus on the kingdom of God and not just upon the things of the world. See, when you begin to focus on the things of God, you begin to understand what is happening and where we are right now and what God is doing today. So I want you tonight to just kind of follow me, because we are approaching the greatest event that is to take place. All of the four kingdoms, I'm not talking Egypt and Assyria now, because those were gone. By the time Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, those were over, and Babylon was in power. So the head of gold was Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, and then the Medes and the Persians, then the Grecians, and then the beast that was diverse, which is the iron kingdom that was Rome, and where we are right now. But then down into the toes, right? But in the days, notice here, let me skip forward and I'll come back here. But go to verse 44. Verse 40. Go to verse 42. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. This is where we are right now, okay? We're down here. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. But pay attention right now, okay? Pay attention in verse 44. Read and pay attention. Now, and in the days of these kings, what kings? 10 toes. Remember we just said that? In the days of these 10 kings, something is to happen. Shall the God of heaven, who is going to do it? The God of heaven, what is he going to do? Set up means he's going to establish a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Are you focusing now? Because if you remember that all of the other kingdoms were destroyed, though they might have run hundreds of years, but they came to an end. They were destroyed. They just fall, most of them from internal, and they were destroyed. And another kingdom took over. But this kingdom that is being set up by the God of heaven can never be destroyed. Nobody will conquer it. That means it will never come to an end. That means once it's established, it can never be overturned. No matter who fights against it, no matter who supports it, no matter who believes it, no matter who stands for it, it's not depending upon human help. It's hewn out of the mountain without hands, without human help. Are you listening now? And it's the God of heaven. Oh my goodness. Come on, church. Help me. It's the God of heaven. What is he going to do? Set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. You should be shouting. Which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. You know, if I was dying, the church would die. I mean, you can't even read. You don't have to have that light. Come on. And the kingdom shall not be left to another people. but it shall break in pieces and consume. Are you listening now? Are you listening now? It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. What is it going to do? Upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. This kingdom that is built, that shall never be destroyed. But it's going to conquer every other kingdom. It breaks in pieces and destroy. Come on. All these kingdoms. And it shall stand. Are you getting it? We're going to go over it again. In the days of these. Let me go to verse 42 again. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be what? Partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Then go to verse 44 again and just enjoy it. Amen. Amen. Come on, you ready? And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Hold on. That means the kingdom that he's setting up that shall never be destroyed is right now. This kingdom has been set up way back, hundreds of years now. And no matter what the world, the devil, what armies or kingdoms do to this kingdom, church, it still stands. In the day, remember, in the days of these kings, shall the Lord God set it up. So when you think that, oh, it's just going to come from heaven, or when Jesus returned at the second advent, then he sets it up. No, it's been set up in the days of the 10 kings. It started even before the resurrection of the dead. Amen. It's not the resurrection of the dead that will set up the kingdom. No. The kingdom is set up by God, the God of heaven, in the days of these 10 kings. That's what it says. In the days of these 10 kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Hallelujah. That's the millennium kingdom that God will give to his son. God will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, because God himself will be in charge of it. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand alone. Alone. It will stand alone forever. There will be no opposing kingdom. No competition. None to overturn him. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominion shall serve him. Don't you love this kingdom? And Psalms chapter 2 says, look at Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2, verse maybe what, 8 or 9. What does it say? Psalms 2. Let's put it up there. Psalms 2. Come on. Verse 8. The whole chapter is good. Let's read that fast. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. You know why? Because their kingdoms is over. And their days, man's day of ruling and governing is over. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. But look, he that what? Oh, you're not reading it. Come on. But he that what? He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. Well, why shall he laugh? Why will he laugh? He that sitteth in the heaven. God is in the heaven, and he's the one that's setting up the kingdom from heaven. So while man is on earth trying to stop God, who is in heaven, from setting, he laugh at them. Come on, he laugh at them. He that sitteth, well, tonight you should be shouting. He that sitteth in the heaven shall what? Shall love. And the Lord shall have them in derision. Do you know what I mean? What he's doing in derision? That's right, mocking them. While they're trying to stop God with their puny little weapons. He will laugh at them. He will have them in confusion. Then, what is he going to do? Then he's going to speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet, they're trying to stop him, but God says, no, you will not. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill, Zion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That's the day when he sets him upon the kingdom. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the Eden for thine inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Do you understand what's going to happen when you study the word of God and you meditate? He'll make you a rod of iron to break and rule the nation. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. You know that, just like a clay pot. Be wise. Now therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling, reverence. Come on, do you see that? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and he perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Then look at it. Blessed are all they. Do you put your trust in him? Look at it. Some trust in silver, right? Some in gold. Some in brass. Some in clay. Gold, silver, brass, iron, and clay. but we trust in the Lord. In other words, we're not trusting in human governments. We trust in the Lord. Because there's only one kingdom that's going to stand, and that's the kingdom of God. And this kingdom is right now in our midst. The kingdom of God is in our midst, within us. He's establishing his kingdom right now. That's why he has the word. He puts the word in you. Where he gives us. And it's not in meat or drink. It's not carnal anymore. But it's in righteousness, right? What is it? Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So during the days of these 10 kings, coming on down, see, Jesus crucified during the Roman time. So what did God do? Pour his spirit out. The Holy Ghost brought the kingdom of God on earth. The kingdom known as the church. When Christ poured out his spirit upon us, I will not leave you comfortless. And then this kingdom spread to the Gentiles. And we were captured by the devil, but now we've been delivered, translated, taken out of the kingdom of darkness, and now we're translated into the kingdom of light. And we who were sometimes darkness, but now are we light in the Lord, walk as children of light. And we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Amen. See, the warfare that we are fighting today, during the gold kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, they fought with swords and spears and other weapons, carnal. And all of the other kingdoms, they use carnal weapons. But when Jesus came, he told Peter, put up your sword. Amen. Put up your sword. Because we're fighting with another weapon. And the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See, so we've got power over all the powers of the enemy. I give you power to tread and serpent. That's the serpent kingdom. And then scorpions and devils. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's right. When the Lord sent the disciples out, when they came out rejoicing what they saw. When they saw. Demons were subject, but Jesus said, and I beheld Satan as lightning falling to the ground. We're not fighting the Babylonians or the Medes or the Persians, but we're fighting not flesh and blood. Oh, yeah, we're not fighting flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And if you have discernment, you can see demonic forces rising up in people and act like devils and try to stop the church. They come from different ways, different angles. But you as a child of God, stand for God. Don't take side with the devil, no matter who he is. Because the devil can come to your mama. He can come to your daddy. He can come to your husband. He can come to your wife, your children. Right? No. Let me tell you something. No matter where it comes from, you resist him and rebuke the devil. And you bind the devil. Because the church is first. And you love the church more than you love anybody else. You don't love flesh and blood more than you love church. Because that's coming to an end. Husband dies and wife dies and kids die. But the church prevails. Amen. The church lives forever. And we are soldiers. And we've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. We're here to defend the church. That's why you're here tonight. Yeah? You're here tonight and not in your funny little bed sleeping. Well, not funny little bed. Come on, on the bed sheet. No, we're soldiers. And we got a kingdom coming. Amen. Our kingdom is coming. Thy kingdom come. Are you with me? Thy will be done. And whether it's cold or raining, we come to church. We get off of the bed sheet and come to church. We get up from before the fireplace. We get up from before the television. And we come to church because we're in a warfare. And the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down. That's why we don't take our tithe and offering and give it to the world at Christmas time or any time. We put the church first. Hey, I'm building a church, Jesus says, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Are you listening? Soldiers, that's what you are. We're fighting a different warfare. In the days of these kings, shall the Lord God set up a kingdom. He's looking out for soldiers, men and women that love God. Not little crybaby Christians. You correct them and they're to church when Paul says, exhort and rebuke. Hey, you've got to be a soldier. You have to be told you're in a warfare and not crybabies. Well, I don't know. He rebuked my family. Oh, my God, you little baby. Come on. Who are you? What do you think you're fighting? You're fighting evil spirits. And you raise up at this time. You've come to the kingdom at this time to cast them out. Cast them out of the inheritance of God. Every time you come to church, are you at home? Every day you get up, you're fighting against the devil. There are many ways you're fighting. Even when you clap your hands, you're fighting. So when you sit there and you can't clap your hands, hey man, stamp your feet. Hey, lift your hands up. Why don't you lift your hands up in the sanctuary and bless the Lord? Give unto the Lord the glory. That's due unto it. Sing unto the Lord song. Come on, come with life. Love God with all your heart. Get on fire. Serve God. The church ought to come alive. The church ought to love God. The church ought to God. Instead of year after year, you're in the church and a preacher to make you feel good. Cry babies. We're soldiers. We're soldiers. You got to learn to get over the fence. You ought to learn how to climb over the wall, to run through a troop. Come on, you got to learn how to leap over a wall. It's a glorious church that he's coming back for. Not a baby church. Always want a lollipop. Hey, you're always wanting, always begging. When we are to fight the devil and let the devil know that in the days of these kings, he's going to set up. And he's doing it. And he has been doing it for a long time now. A kingdom that shall never be moved. That's why when you pray and read the Bible and laugh in the face of the devil, he doesn't like it. And he tells you he's going to stop you. But he cannot stop you. We are the unstoppable. Are you listening now? The church ought to rise up by faith and quit being a baby. You come, they can't clap. It's every week the same sickness. What is it? I can't clap my hands. I'm too tired. I can't open my mouth and praise him. But let the cell phone ring. Let the cell phone ring. God wants a happy people. You know why we're happy? Because we have a lot. We have an inheritance. That's from above. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and he perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they. That means you and I. All they that what? Do you put your trust in him tonight? Oh, no, I got some kids who can take care of me. Is that what your trust is? I have a secure job. Is that what your trust is in tonight? Some trust in silver. But you've got to trust in the Lord God Almighty. Trust in the Lord. And when Daniel, even the lions couldn't eat him. The lions couldn't eat him. The fire could not burn the boys because they trusted in God. God wants a powerful, lively church. You tell everybody what God's doing and the word, because people is hungry. They need the word of God. Okay, so let's go back to Daniel chapter 7 for a while. Daniel chapter 7, maybe verse 17? Go to verse 17 first and see. What does it say? All right. Okay. I went there for time's sake. Daniel, let me have that. Come on. Daniel 7, verse 17. Let's read that. These great beasts, which are four, are four kings. Now, the same beast, listen to this. Listen. The same beast, or the same image that the king saw in Daniel chapter 2, or the same vision in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 8. Are you following me now? The same. Beast rise up of the sea. And so these are the same thing. Okay, so with Daniel 2, 7, and 8. Write that down. The same. And also 10. So, but this time, right there. But in, okay, verse 17, read. These great beasts which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. Now, when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, he was number one, the gold. When Daniel saw another dream, the gold was, but they were four, still in existence. But the part of them, like the Medes and Persians, were just taking over. Chapter 6, so, and Daniel had it. So the Medes were just taking over, and the Grecians was not yet. That was many, many years after, and the Romans. Okay, so here's what he said. These great beasts, which are four kings, which, on a line, these words, which shall arise out of the earth in future, right? That was still future. Now for us, it's not future. It's past. We are at the end. Amen. And yet still we are sleeping. We are the soldiers now. And the warfare we're fighting is not with swords, but it's with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's why we are armed differently. He told Peter, put up your sword, because I have other instruments for you to fight with. Because the war is no more carnal, natural, but it's turned to a spiritual war. Amen? It's turned to a spiritual war. So the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. You cannot fight with a carnal weapon. But they're spiritual. They're mighty through God. To the pulling down of strong oaths. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. So because of this, Ephesians 6, 11, 12, 13 going down. Because of this, finally, brethren, take on to you the whole armor, weapons, equipments of God. Because you're fighting a different battle. The battle you're fighting is not The one like the four kings or the four nations, but you're fighting a different battle, because in the days of these kings shall the Lord God set up a kingdom which shall never be removed. And his kingdom, you don't use swords, but you use the weapon of the word of God, the sword of the spirit. So that's how it changed from carnal to spiritual. So every day you fight, even in your bedroom, when you're driving down the highway, wherever you are, at the airport, you're fighting. Not flesh and blood. When that person come in the line and cut ahead of you and push you and look at you all ugly and say some bad things to you, you're not fighting flesh and blood. It's a devil behind that. And you rebuke that devil, bind him in the name of Jesus, and told him that there's a God from heaven. He's in your midst, and he has given us power over all the powers of the enemy. Remember? I have given you power. And when Jesus was on his way back to heaven, what did the disciples ask him? Lord, will you at this time establish the kingdom unto Israel? He said, it's not for you. Do you know it? Quote it. It's not for you to know the day nor the hours, time nor the season. It's not for you to know. That's Acts chapter 1. So if you don't know it, you can read it. But you shall receive power. You notice that? Notice that? Another phase. It was a different kingdom. You don't know, but you shall receive power. Go back and tarry in Jerusalem till I equip you. So they went up in the upper room and did some training.
Hallelujah.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, God poured out his spirit upon them, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and that begun a kingdom that will never be removed.
Amen.
My Lord. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's the kingdom of God coming from heaven on the earth. And many of us misunderstood and think it's just a begging time. I give me. How great you can be. But those people that God's raising up, look at Hebrews 11. They wandered in dens and caves and their lives were not their own. Are you listening? What they did. Huh? And we've come at such a time as this to the kingdom. That's why we are to muster the two or three. And then let me tell you how great God is. He said, it doesn't matter how many of you are there, even two or three. Are you listening now? Where two or three of you are gathered together in my name. Let me see how many are. One, two, three, four, five. There's a whole bunch here. I am in your midst to make war against the devil. So you sing the song, clap your hands, shout, and don't look around who's coming. Just go ahead and praise the Lord. Amen. Come on, and just start firing away at the devil. Rebuke the devil and he will flee from you. And he said, I'll be with you. You're not alone. I am in your midst. Are you getting it now? You see, it's a different fight that you're fighting in tonight. When you feel that something wrestling you and something rising up in you, you know, that human, that Adamic, whatever it is, you resist that, rebuke that, tell it to go. You don't sit back and let the devil tear up the church and you look all innocent and weak. Tell the devil to go to where the fire is. Hey, stand him. Go where the fire is. You are defenders of the faith. That's why you're here. Don't let nobody tear your church up. You stand up and fight for your church. It's the most important thing. It's a fight for the church. How do you fight? The good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. It's a different kingdom. This kingdom was hewn out of the mountain without hands, right? It's different. And what did it do? Let me go back before and come back to 70. Go back to chapter 2. It was you, not what verse? It's you not of the mountain without hands. This stone, verse 35. Go to 35 first. Then was the iron, clay, brass, silver, gold, broken in pieces together, and became like unto the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became what? Became a great mountain and filled the old herd. This is the everlasting kingdom. This is the kingdom that you want to enter, that you're entering, that you're fighting for right now. It's going to fill all the earth. Go into all the world. And preach the gospel. That's the kingdom. Hallelujah. Come on. It's the gospel kingdom. Now, at 44, it was hewn out of the mountain. What verse? Okay. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without so it's not human. Different. And that it break in pieces, iron, brass, clay, silver, gold. The who? The great God. Say it like you mean it. The who? The great God had made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. That means from it continue the future, hereafter. But we are almost there. And the dream, look at it, is certain. My Lord, you can rest your life on it. And the interpretation thereof, sure. This is not the dream is certain and the interpretation is sure. That's the way it's going to be. And we're down at the end. All of that is fulfilled. We're just a little part left. The toes. And the Lord God setting up a kingdom. Is he doing it now? Are you in the kingdom? I don't know. Go read your Bible and pray. Go sharpen your sword. Wake up. My God. Wake up. I don't know. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Because they were just sleepy. When they should be on fire. Closing, Daniel 7. Go back there. Is it verse 17? Read verse 18 now. Come on. I was right then. But the kingdom, right? I said it's a kingdom, and that began on the day of Pentecost. Amen. And it pulls in Old Testament and New Testament saints. It pulls in Jews and Gentiles. Amen. With him there's neither bond nor free, Jew nor Gentile. But there's just one kingdom. But the saints. Hello, do we have any saints here? Or you belong to the Most High? And what are you going to do? But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom. For how long? Forever, even forever and ever. Somebody ought to shout. I wish we have some saints here tonight. I wish we have some saints here tonight that could do warfare and let the devil know he's a liar. And we're going to take the kingdom. By saints of the Most High. Somebody ought to shout. Forever and ever and ever. Let me go on down to verse 27 for closing. Skip on down for time's sake. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitation much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me. Here's the secret. Here is the secret. But I did what? Where do you keep it? But I kept the matter. That's the matter of the kingdom in my heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I kept the matter in my heart.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.